Hey, can you throw up that photo of Asher one more time? Can you throw up, there it is. Okay. You know, you said Shane might be changing a diaper right now. That actually isn't too far from the truth. It is a fact that an infant pees every 20 minutes. That is legitimately a fact. So there's a good chance in one of those photos, Asher just like, that felt good. It's a fact, the baby pees every 20 minutes, okay? So Shane's having fun right now. A baby is born every 3 seconds. That is also a fact. You can throw that off. A baby is born every 3 seconds in the world. Baby. Isn't that crazy to think about? Twins. Isn't that crazy? So I guess that kind of skews the facts a little bit. But I got a couple other crazy facts for you. Fact, a sloth mistakenly grabs its arm thinking it's a tree branch and oftentimes falls to their death. Boom! Sloth, dead. That's a fact. Sloths sometimes do that. It's sad. Oh no, it's sad, but it's true. It's a fact. It's just part of nature. Okay, another fact for you. Penguins will give their mate a pebble as a way of proposing. So just, you know, like a penguin will propose using a pebble. It's so cute. Guys are like, that's weird, man. All right, so another fact. There is an opera house on the border of Canada and USA where the stage is in the United States and the audience is in Canada. Think about that. Isn't that crazy? Like, do the actors need, like, a passport in order to, like, go on stage? They're like, oh, let me see your ID. Okay. You know, and then they go back. Another pass. You know, like, that's just crazy to me. Why would they even do that? It doesn't make any sense. Another fact. You're born with 300 bones. So Asher's got 300 bones in his body. But somehow, when you're an adult, you're left with 206. So either they, like, fuse together. One bone's just like, I'm out. Peace. I don't know. Bones just disappear. A couple more. The average lead pencil, this thing right here, can draw a line 35 miles long. So if you were to just keep going, if this piece of paper was 35 miles long, that's how much lead this thing can handle. Another fact, this word right here, the word almost, is the longest word in the whole dictionary where the letters are in alphabetical order. Does that make sense? So here's the alphabet. As you keep going, all of those are in alphabetical order. That's the longest word we have in the whole dictionary where that happens. I thought that was crazy. One more. It's against the law to burp or sneeze in a church in Nebraska. We're safe. All right, we're safe. I don't want you burping, though. Like, all right, that's not okay. You can sneeze. You can sneeze. I give you that freedom. But burping, let's just wait. All right, let's just wait on that. But apparently it's against the law. Fact. Every single person on the planet wants to be happy. That is a fact. They want to be happy. You might think, that's a fact. It's actually, yeah, it is science. Everyone on the earth wants happiness. They pursue it. There's a part of you in somewhere on your heart and in your brain that pursues happiness. Like, that's why you do things. That's why you want to have fun. That's why you like certain things. That's why you're maybe even jealous of other people, other certain things, because you're not happy. All of these things prove that we just want to be happy. Do you guys remember the name of the guy we studied last week? Anyone? Solomon. He wanted to be happy. And do you remember how he tried to do it? Do you remember? This guy was loaded. He had it all. He was king. He could do anything he wanted. So he tried to build as much as he could. He tried to buy as much as he possibly could. He had this crazy, crazy spending spree. And yet at the end, he's like, Meaningless. Remember that word? Meaningless. It also means what? Like a mist in the air. All of that happiness was like, it was there. It was up in the sky for like 3 seconds and then it just disappeared. Something didn't stick. I wanted happiness that lasted, and that was fun and that was great for a while, but eventually it kind of just went away. Eventually it just kind of went away. And we're all looking for a happiness that lasts. And so let's open our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. If you guys have your Bibles, would you bust those out? I've also got a couple up here. Who needs a Bible? All right, perfect. Dylan, you got some more back there too? I even got a pen and the message notes thing already there for you. You're welcome. Got you. Okay, I only got two. So Dylan, we need some more help over here. I want you to make sure you have a Bible today because we're gonna be moving around. You might get a paper cut today, but that's fine, okay? So make sure you have one of these. Now, as you're turning to the book of Ecclesiastes, you wanna know what's like one of the funnier things to see, in my opinion? Have you ever watched like your grandma try to like use an iPhone? Have you ever seen this? Or maybe even it's like your mom or dad. They like, first off, they like basically punch like the letters in. Like you don't need it. It's like boom, boom. And then they just use like one finger texting. You know? And it's like impossible to like tell her to use an app. Like, what's an app? Grandma, I'm trying to Snapchat you. What's a Snapchat? Like, and like, grandma, like, I'm gonna send you the directions to where we're going. Okay, so you just open it in Google Maps. I'm gonna drop a pin, then I'm gonna send it to you, and then you just gotta open it. She's like, okay, I'm just gonna call the operator, and I'm gonna ask for a direction. I'm like, no, grandma, it's not. It's more than just a phone, right? Has anyone seen this? Has anyone like your grandma just struggling every day? It's more than just a phone, grandma. This is more than just a book. This is more than just a book. This is more than just words. More than just a bunch of stories like a guy who beat a giant with a slingshot. More than just a bunch of stories where a guy builds a huge sailboat and it rains and he come on, elephants, come on, tigers, let's go, let's get in here. And more than just stories like that is something so much more. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever thought about this, but this is how God talks to us. This is how God communicates to us, and he speaks to us. Because it says in here that every man who wrote was inspired by God to whatever he was writing. And so basically, yeah, maybe Jeremiah wrote this book, and maybe Matthew wrote that book, and Paul wrote Romans, but God was there. He was speaking through him because he's like, whoever reads these words, I hope they're listening because these are more than words. This is truth. This is who I am. And hopefully, guys, when we read these words, they'll go to our head, and hopefully they'll go down to our heart. And if they really did go down into our heart, maybe they'll go out to our hands and we'll do something with it. That's the idea. So let's open up and see what we have to read today. It's Ecclesiastes 3. That's where we're going to be. And Solomon, he says something pretty profound. He's like, hey, I got another fun fact for you. Go to verse 11. In chapter 3, verse 11, he says, he's made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the human heart. We'll get to that in a second. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And then look at this, in verse 12, I know that there's nothing better for people than to be, what? Happy. And to do good while they live. Now, Solomon's a pretty smart dude. He actually is apparently the smartest man that's ever lived. So if he says something, I'm like, okay, I'll take notes on that. I trust your advice. And he's like, hey, every single person, when they were born, if you could think about it this way, it's almost like God took this stamp and he put on every one of our hearts forever. in the back of our mind this idea that what's next? Like, is this it? Am I just supposed to play nine square on this ball of dust and then I'm done? Like, isn't there something more? Those sorts of questions are right here from the very beginning that we've ever lived. We've ever began to actually formulate ideas in our head about what is true, why am I here? It says God put that on everyone's heart for a reason. And he put on everyone's heart for a reason, this desire to be happy. I said in the beginning, it's a fact. Every single person wants to be happy. And when you put these two ideas together, when you put what's next, why am I here, how can I be happy, God's just like in heaven going, big hint, hello, he's right there, it's my son Jesus, I'm trying to get your attention. God likes to drop big hints on our hearts so that we can understand those two things. Now, have you ever played the game, maybe someone's played it with you, where like they want you to find something. Like, sorry, Michael, you're only having one water bottle. But let's just say like they hid the water bottle like right over here, okay? I hope that doesn't spill and just electrocute us all. So let's just say that someone hid the water bottle and they're like, all right, and I'll find it. What's that game you play? Warmer? Warmer? Cooler? Colt, you're in Alaska. You're in Alaska. Where is it? Like, you guys played that game right before. What if this, maybe I'm crazy, but what if God is like dropping these hints on our hearts, almost in the same way as we search for things, as we think about forever and eternity and our desire for happiness and what matters most in life, and we look for things. Okay, I'm just going to buy as many things as I can. I hope one day I'm super rich and I'm just going to buy everything. And God's going, Colt, you are in Alaska in sandals right now. Like, you are cold. Okay, that didn't work, but I'm going to try and have as much. I'm just going to have as much fun as possible because that makes me happy. Like, fun equals happy. So I'm just going to have as much fun as possible. And God's going, you're still cold. I want you to have a thing called joy. That doesn't necessarily mean fun, though, so you're still pretty cold. Maybe that doesn't work. So you're like, okay, I'm just going to find happiness and meaning in a relationship with a girl or a boy. Like, I remember what it was like to be in junior high. You want a girlfriend. I want a boyfriend. That's like, that's just what I want. I'll be set. I'll be popular. I'll be good. And God's just going, cold. Ah, cool. You're kind of cool. Cooler. Because you're on the right track. You're looking for a relationship, but it's not in me, so you're still cold. You're not in Alaska. You're like in North Dakota. All right, so maybe now we just start thinking about, okay, what's true? What is true in life? Why am I here? What do I matter? God's going, oh, okay. Getting warmer. You're getting warmer. And maybe someone invited you to JHM today. Maybe you got invited to JHM, and God's going, warmer? Because you heard it was fun. You heard it was a cool place. You heard they did game time and all that. And you're like, okay, I'll check it out. God's going, warmer. And then they open a Bible, and God's going, warmer? Okay, and then maybe we're like on John 3:16, and God's just going, okay, you're hot, you're on the sun. Okay, I can't give you a bigger hint than that. God puts things on our hearts so that we'll look up into heaven while he's doing this. He's saying, come on, you're real close because you've got eternity on your heart, and you've also got this desire to be happy. And that maybe happy is the wrong word. I'm going to use the word satisfaction because maybe that's what it is. You just want to feel like you're complete, like you don't need anything else. And satisfaction, I'm not talking about when you bite into a Joe's Farm Grill cheeseburger. Oh, man. All right, I'm not talking about that satisfaction. Maybe the satisfaction like you get the test back and it's, A, guessed on every answer. Like, I'm not talking about that satisfaction. I'm talking about when your heart goes, I found it. My satisfaction is complete. Is there anything out there that will actually do that, though? Because we think there is, and we'll look for it in certain ways, maybe kind of like Solomon did, but everything eventually will kind of come and go, right? Like, man, I'll just use this for example. Like, it was before it was the 4, then the 4S, and the 5, and then the 6, and now it's what? It's like the 18, 4S, C, 9, 2000, I don't know, whatever is next. Eventually, it's not even going to be a phone. It's just going to be like a floating, like, hologram. You're just going to be like, send. And grandma's still going to be like, I don't know, I give up. Because some, like, the things in this world will come and go. And feelings will come and go. Happiness, happy feelings and comforts and things will come and go. People will let us down, right? Like, and Jesus knows what that's like. He's like, my best friend denied I existed 3 times. So all these things in this world will make us feel happy. But eventually that feeling might go away. So what will actually last? Jesus says, let me show you. Go to John, the book of John, chapter 15. Now, we're in the New Testament, so go to the right and find John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to John 15, and if you go to verse 5, Jesus is walking with his disciples through a garden. Okay, so he's got his friends, and he's walking through a garden, and they're walking, and they're talking, they're having a good time. Then he says, hey, hold on, stop. Hey, Peter, come here, come on. What are you doing? Stop messing around, stop. Okay, and he says, hey, you see that? Verse 5. I'm like that vine. I'm like that vine, and you're all like branches. Probably like, where are you going with this, Jesus? Give him a second. Let Jesus explain. He says, if you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. You'll be a good tree, he's basically saying. And he says, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch. It's thrown away and it withers. Such branches, they're picked up. They're thrown into the fire and they're burned. Verse 7, if you what? Remain in me, and my words remain in you. You can ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you would bear much fruit, and you would show yourselves to be my disciples. Watch where he goes here. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, that same love that God loves me, I love you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Do you guys have a pen? Do you have a highlighter? Do you have a Sharpie? Do you have anything? Pull it out right now, and would you just circle, underline, smiley face, whatever you need to do. Verse 11, I've told you this. So everything he just said, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be what? Complete. Jesus says, I just said everything just now. If you don't doubt me. Okay, now he was teaching to his disciples here. Now we can read these and apply it to here. If you don't doubt Jesus, if you don't give up on him, if you just trust him and you remain in him, he says, I can give you the joy that your heart has been looking for your whole life. And guess what? You don't need anything else because it's complete. I'm wondering if the disciples in that moment were just as quiet as we were. Because there's got to be some of them that were like, man, Jesus, you just answered some of the biggest questions I've been wondering this whole time about you. You won't leave me, will you? I don't need to doubt you, do I? I know that whatever comes my way, I can trust you with it, don't I? Jesus says, my joy that would go into your heart is complete. And yes, you can. I think nothing is more mind-blowing to me, like mind-blowing to me, to think that the creator of everything, the creator of everything, God, you guys remember, it says in Genesis that God spoke and creation happened. He spoke. He just went, Milky Way. That was cool. San Diego. And he just kind of gets like a Swiss Army knife. He's like carving out the Grand Canyon. He's like, man, I'm good. And he's just doing all of this. He spoke it and creation happened. And yet it says all of that doesn't even come close to that guy. You, every single one of you, that was the completion of his creation. Everything else was just good. The Grand Canyon was just good, but you, very good. And God, at that point, was like, I'm done. I'm complete. I'm going to take a nap. I'm resting. I am done, because that is exactly what I've been waiting to make. And so we are at the center of God's attention. You think about that. We are at the center of God's attention. God wants what is absolutely best for his children. My brain just exploded. All right? It did. And it does oftentimes when I think about that. And in order for joy to really work and to ultimately understand and to not just take God's attention of us, but to actually believe that and to do something with it, there's a term in the Bible that says your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. That's basically saying that your heart is like a home so that Jesus can come and live in it. Now, have you ever been over to someone's house and they say, just make yourself at home. I'll be right back. Just make yourself at home. Anyone? Has that ever happened? Okay. What do they really mean? What do they really mean? They kind of just mean, hey, just sit on the couch. I got a 2-liter of Dr. Pepper in the fridge. You can have some of that, just a little bit. I'll be right back, right? Like, that's what they mean. They make yourself at home. I don't know where this term came from. Here's a dare. Here's a challenge. Next time someone says that, take them seriously. Hey, just make yourself at home. I've got to run into the garage and grab some more ice. Okay, sounds good. I'll just make myself at home, starting with that rug. That is ugly. That's got to go. And you just take the rug and you throw it away. Where the heck is that cat? Oh, hello, little whiskers. And you just kick it out of the backyard. And you're just like, whoa, that wall, it's brown. Why isn't it blue? How convenient. The blue paint from my room. And you just start painting. And you just start going crazy. And you start rearranging the furniture. And then they just come back and you're just like, hey, how's it going? Just make myself at home. They'd be like, what? Oh, was it serious? Where's my cat? That would be ridiculous, right? I just wanted you to sit on the couch. Man. When we ask Jesus to make himself at home, maybe you just wanted him to sit on the couch. And you went into the garage and grabbed ice. And just kind of just said, hey, make yourself at home. I'll be right back. I'll let you know when I need something. Maybe that's all we meant. But what if when we said, make yourself at home, we wanted him to take us seriously? And he started to rearrange the furniture. He started painting the walls. He got rid of the cat. He started just doing all this stuff in our life. He took over. He's like, all right, perfect. I mean, it's your house, but I'm going to make it look like mine. Because you invited me in. And you said, make yourself at home, and so I'm going to take you seriously. Do we allow him to do that? But you want to know where the conversation changes? You want to know where all of a sudden we take a left here? This all sounds fun and great, but when there's that verse in the Bible that says, yeah, when you're suffering and when things are really hard, find joy in that. Is anyone else like, that's super hard? Yeah, you raise your hand. I can't tell you how hard that is at times. That's really hard. You know, because you read a verse like that and it's like, come on, James. Take it easy on me, man. Do you know what I'm going through? I got to find joy in a trial. And from my past experience and what I see in the Bible of people and their stories is that I still need to pursue Jesus even if a circumstance changes. Joy doesn't depend on a circumstance. Happiness, that depends on a circumstance. Because happiness is a feeling, it's a moment, it's a situation that will come and go. But joy doesn't depend on a circumstance. Joy sees past the circumstance and has a huge hope, a huge peace, and a huge trust that God knows what he's doing. I don't, no idea, God. I don't know why you're doing it, but I'm okay with it. That's joy. And that's why this matters. That's why we need this. Because it's easy when everything's going great to be joyful and happy, but when something bad happens. Don't you want that kind of hope? Don't you want that kind of peace and trust and joy? It's not only if happiness. Listen, I'm going to try my best to explain this. Give me a couple more minutes. It's not only if happiness. Like, I'll be happy only if this, as long as I've got this, as long as I've got a girlfriend, as long as I've got a boyfriend, and I'm popular, and I'm comfortable, I'll be happy only if. It's not only if happiness. It's even if joy. It's I'll be joyful and trust and have peace and hope even if things change. Even if my popularity tanks. Even if I don't find a relationship with someone. Even if I don't have what they have. Even if you fill in the blank. It's even if all of that. What trumps that feeling is that you remember that the creator of the universe that went Milky Way has me on the center of his mind. Has me at the center of his attention. He wants what's best for me, even if. Because guys, Satan is lurking around. I don't know where he is, man. He's got a sniper. And it says in Ephesians, we got to put up a shield of faith so that when he fires at us, it just deflects. And when you throw up that shield of faith, what I believe that shield of faith has a ton of is this joy. And when you believe Jesus, he's like, hey, if you abide in me and I'm in you, and it's full and it's complete, you're bulletproof. You're bulletproof. I'm going to end today with one of Jesus' parables. there's a guy working in the field, and it doesn't really say much, so just imagine with me for a second. There's a guy working in a field, it's a hot day, and he doesn't want to be there, man. He's like, I've been doing this for the last 20 years, and all I do is shovel corn. I don't know if you shovel corn. He's like, this is the same shovel I've been used for 20 years. It's broken. It doesn't even work right, and I don't want to be here. Maybe he's having a bad day. Maybe he just stepped in cow poop, and he's just like, whatever. I'm done. And he's just shoveling, man. And he's getting mad. He's like, this, I hate it. I'm tired of it. And he finally is done. He's just like, ting. What the heck was it? Ting. Okay. That's interesting. And he starts, ting. Okay, there's something down there. And he uncovers all the dirt and the corn, and he finds a treasure chest. And he opens it, and he goes, whoa, oh my gosh, and he covers it back up so that no one else can see it, and he runs home, and he buys, or he sells everything that he owns. He sells his house, he sells every possession he has, and he takes that money, and he buys the whole field. He says, what else is out here? What else is out here? The parable in Matthew 13, 44, where Jesus says, trusting in me, the gospel, And living in the life that I've invited you into is like this man who just found treasure and he just gave everything away so he could have it. Discovering the love that God has and the best kind of life that he has invited you in is the greatest thing that you could ever find. Now I have a question. Maybe you're here this morning and you have yet to discover it. Here it is. God's saying, I'm done with hints. This is the best one I got. Man, you are on the sun. You are swimming in lava right now. Maybe that's you. You've been searching. And this hole in your heart for happiness and you've got in the back of your mind forever is right here. And the answer is in what Jesus is telling you in your heart right now. And for the Christian, it's the last thing I'll say, how we can apply this to us is how are you doing at making him at home? Did you just invite him over to watch TV and share your bag of hot Cheetos? Or you're saying, Jesus, I don't really like the look of this place. Can you do something? Can you just do whatever you want? And I would encourage you to ask him that question and to say, make yourself at home in here. Do whatever you want with me, whatever you have for my life, because I need that complete joy that you're talking about. Let's pray. God, we pray that we have that kind of faith that doesn't say only if, but even if. May we have the kind of happiness that doesn't say only if or as long as I have this and this doesn't happen to me, I'll be happy. No. May we have the kind of joy that says even if this does happen and even if you fill in the blank, you say I'm still committed. I've got joy in you because I'm going to remain with you. I'm not going to doubt you. I'm not going to give up on you because you promised to give me complete heart satisfaction. And that's what we're after. And when this series is called The Pursuit of Happiness, may we now know the answer. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. It's been awesome hanging out with you guys. Eighth graders, I'll see you in a couple months, all right? See ya.